This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Well, hello everybody, this is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Well, we're recording this in January, and it's it looks kind of gray and drab out there today. And
you know, my birthday's in January.
Right.
But I hate January.
Okay.
It's so grim.
Well, you're like a little tropical plant. You like sunlight, and you like warmth, and
I have to have
flourish.
A certain amount of sunlight.
Right. Well, if you can't get sunlight, you like some light. How's that?
Yeah. So, look, if you want to improve your January, then let me tell you what we did. And it has, it's really something. So, we took white Christmas lights and we just strung several strings of them around our living room where we do everything.
Our living room's the nerve center of the house. Yeah. That's where everything happens.
So, we just strung them like, you know, about a foot under the ceiling all the way around the house, all the way around the room. And the kids took copy paper and cut out snowflakes.
Yeah.
And hung them from the ceiling. And let me tell you, it really helps.
There's a little bit of a party atmosphere in here. I kind of, you know, it's funky, but I kind of like it.
Well, it kind of bothered you at first, I think, but.
Well, it was a little unconventional.
It's a little rococo.
But I can be hip. This is all right.
It really helps January, let
me
tell you.
It does, actually. It does help a good bit. So that's a easy, free tip. You can get Christmas lights pretty cheap, especially this time of year.
Oh, yeah. You know, we were thinking about taking them down the other day, Hal. And the children turned them off, and it was so dark in here.
It's so drab. Well, we live in a house that's in a pretty heavily shaded lot anyway, and so we don't get lots of direct sunlight into the windows. And so every little bit that we illuminate here from the inside helps. So, you know, there's the thing of it is, it's a seasonal thing. And oddly enough, that segues into our topic because somebody asked us somewhere online, it was in a discussion, I can't even remember what the source was, but somebody asked the question, midlife crisis, is that a real thing or not?
Oh,
this was in a Christian group of some sort. And they just, you know, the midlife crisis that you hear people talk about, is that really something, you know, what's your view on it?
I think there's no doubt it's a real thing.
Okay.
I think you get in your 40s and you look around and realize your life is half over.
Okay.
And, you know, I remember it was kind of weird for me to turn 40. That was a while back. I'm not going to say how many years, but that was a while back.
Not too long.
Long enough. And, you know, it was sobering because, you know, when you're in your 30s, you think, I'm young.
Well, you think everything's in the future still.
Right.
That you hope to achieve stuff in the future.
And then you turn 40 and you realize, yeah, my life could be half over. I could be on the downhill side now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when you start to look at things and say, well, you know, maybe that's not a goal that I'm going to achieve. Or maybe maybe the time to achieve that goal that I used to have at this point, I'd get to the other end of it. And then, you know, what would it mean at that point?
Well,
you know,
I think
it's not going to contribute to my career at that point.
I think you look around and you think, well, is this all there is?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how you handle it from that point makes a difference. I think you can have a good midlife crisis or you can have a bad one.
Well, okay. The stereotype out in the culture is particularly the man who has his midlife crisis, he goes out and gets a gym membership and he goes and buys a sports car and maybe he starts flirting with the younger secretaries at work or something worse. And that's kind of like early stage of old fool is sort of way that plays out. And that's obviously that's not constructive and it can lead into sin. You can get into things that you really don't want.
Well, we see it all over the place. We see people throwing away their families, their marriages that they put decades into.
Right.
And they just throw them away. And that is displeasing to God.
Well, I think the reason that happens, I think, is that they get to that point of crisis and they revert to their selfishness.
Yeah.
You know, to say, okay, this is me time. This is, I have goals. I have dreams. I have aspirations that I have to go grab right now or they're not going to happen. And so everybody get out of my way. Well, that's all focused on.
That's what you hear people say. They say, it's mm-hmm. my turn now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't see that in the Word of God.
I don't either. And, you know, what I do see in Word of God is that there are natural seasons in life.
And there's natural, and, you know, growing old is not seen as a bad thing in Scripture. In fact, it's seen as a good thing.
There are lots of scriptures that talk about the blessings of old age, if you can imagine that. Now, there are scriptures that are very frank about, hey, you know, there's times in life where you get elderly and there are weaknesses. You know, there is a certain, you know, the aging process is not always graceful or kind. And yet, you see over and again, you know, about rising up before a gray head. You see that grandchildren are a blessing to the elderly man, you know, that. You know, you'll look on your children's children and there's all of these things that talk about old age as a time of respect, of honor, something that's, you know, not to rush into it or anything, but once you arrive there, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It can be the culmination of a very good life.
Well, our culture sees a gray hair and has an existential crisis, but the word says a mm-hmm. crown of beauty are gray hairs and in the mm-hmm. way of righteousness it's found. The hoary head is a crown of glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a different attitude than what the world has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the blessing from Psalm 28, may mm-hmm. you live to see your children's children.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That's
right.
A blessing. It's a gift. But it's still, I think, appropriate for a Christian to have a bit of a crisis at this age, because I think it's a great time to reassess, to say, are mm-hmm. we on the right path? Are we doing what God would have us to do? Should we be making adjustments?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I think I see, you know, that one of the things that I see an opportunity as you reach these different stages of life is for course correction
yes.
or course adjustment. Or, as you say, a reassessment, because I remember back in the ages past when we didn't have any children, or when we were just expecting one or had just had one, sometime early in our life as a family, somebody gave us a photocopy sheet. Now, you see, that's what they used to do before people could forward email around. You know,
now you're telling them how old we really
now
are.
Well, I didn't say mimeographed. It was Xerox copies of stuff that got handed around places. Anyway, somebody handed us this little, you know, essay that somebody had written about two women talking, one of them talking with her girlfriend, if you will. And they said, oh, you know, you're going to have a baby. That's going to change everything. And the one writing it said, well, yes, it does change everything, but it changes it and it gets better. You know, and I've seen that in our own lives as you go from being single to being married. Everything changed, but it was good.
It was good, yeah.
And going from being a couple to being a parent for the first time, that changes your whole world, but it's a good change. And, you know, you look at that and you say, well, okay, I've closed a chapter in my life. I've closed that chapter of singleness. I've completed this chapter of childlessness. You know, now we're at the stage where we have lots of children and we're blessed with kids, but we're seeing them grow and they're maturing and they're moving out into their own lives. And so, you know, we have fewer of our children at home than we used to. They're all these stages, but they're normal progression that God has ordained in life. And it's not something to grieve over.
No, but, you know, I think some self-examination,
mm-hmm.
maybe a family brainstorm session. Maybe you brainstorm on your own, you pray and think, you talk with your mate, then you talk with the kids too.
Yeah.
You know, and ask yourself, are we doing what we want to do with our lives? How are we spending the hours? I've been thinking a lot, having had a recent birthday,
mm-hmm.
about growing old and realizing, you know, just how much of my life is spent, and thinking, okay, well, you know, that went a lot faster than I kind of expected.
Well, it gets compressed in our memories.
Well, I know, but
mm-hmm.
but still, we realize, you know, it's really just going to seem like a blink of an eye before we when we stand before Christ.
Okay.
And so I think it pays to look around and say, okay, am I serving God like I should?
Mm-hmm.
Am I in the career I ought to be in?
Well, and okay, now that's a good thing too. And we can, I kind of like to talk with that after the break, but
yeah.
The scriptures do say that we should examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. We should be people that reflect on, you know, how do we live? Is that pleasing to God? And I think with the openness to change, and that's one of the things which I think people have some difficulty with, to say, well, like, okay, for example, in our case, you know, that there was a time when I was in the military and then I was not in the military. That was a change. Was it a good change, bad change? Well, you know, I think in all things, it was a good change at that point, but it was a definite shift in, we don't go back to it. It's, right. You know, that chapter's done. We're now in a different chapter. And, you know, at each of those kind of junctions there, but maybe not even waiting for a milestone.
No, I think, you know, if you're feeling that restlessness
mm-hmm.
that I think folks typically feel in their 40s.
Okay.
I think it's a good indicator you need to sit down and reassess.
Mm-hmm.
You need to sit down with your mate and say, you know, what are we doing
mm-hmm.
with regards to our walk with Christ that needs to change?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we, is should we be in a different career or job in situation?
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to start that business we've been dreaming about?
Mm-hmm.
What about where we live?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to someone the other day and their life choices had been very constrained by wanting to live in a really nice place. And yet I know other people who said, you know, let's just sell the house,
mm-hmm.
pack our stuff into a storage room and go on the road with our kids and just explore.
Well, we had some friends that did that a few years ago. That the husband was military and he was going to be deployed. And they said, hey, why should we be paying all of this mortgage and stuff if I'm going to be, downrange, so to speak? And, why don't y'all take this opportunity? And they sold their house and they put stuff in storage and they bought a nice RV trailer. And the wife and family traveled all over the country while Dad was busy.
Well, and the part of that time with Dad, but about 6 months, and you know, all of them say they will remember it all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think this is actually a great opportunity, a time of opportunity,
right?
To say, okay, you know what? We're still fairly young.
Mm-hmm.
We still have, we've got some resources now. We've built up some resources. You know, we've got some experience.
Mm-hmm.
What have we learned from our experience, and what can we take into the future?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a time to dream. You know, for that time for us was mm-hmm. pretty, we made some pretty radical changes.
Well, we did.
And I want to tell our story after the break.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all hang around. But, you know, I think there's questions that really anybody could benefit from doing, you know, from mm-hmm. just exploring the possibilities. Maybe get a big whiteboard. Mm-hmm. You can get a mm-hmm. 4x8 piece of melamine at Lowe's in the mm-hmm. panel section for about $30.
Sure.
Get some dry erase markers, prop it up on the kitchen table,
mm-hmm.
and all of you brainstorm. If you could do anything, what would you do?
You know, yeah. I was in a session with a teacher who does lots of career counseling and things like that several years ago, and he asked a couple of questions which you can really apply in different ways. But he was talking financially. He said, "Ask yourself if you had an additional $10,000 of income, what would you do with it?" You know, and then he come back later and ask himself, okay, if you had $10,000 less income, how would you survive? How would you manage that? You know, what changes would you make? And then he kind of tied those back together, said, okay, what would it be like if you made those economies to free up $10,000 worth of your present income in order to do the other thing? And you know, that's kind of, money is one thing, but time is another thing. You know, your position, belongings, your career, whatever, to say, hey, you know, if I could do something differently, well, why couldn't I do it differently? What would it cost to do something differently? Is that a good move or a good change to make at this point?
Is it something we want to do or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you dream, mm-hmm. you brainstorm, and you realize we're right where we need to be. That's great. Mm-hmm. But then you can be there without the restlessness.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, let's take a quick break here and say hello for our sponsors.
Yes. Schoolhouseteachers.com mm-hmm. is our podcast sponsor this week. Mm-hmm. And you know what, guys? They are so affordable. I was looking at putting our children in a one of our kids mm-hmm. in a course with someone else
right.
this past week. And it was going to be almost $700.
One child.
And we couldn't do it. Mm-mm. But I remembered our Schoolhouse Teachers.com mm-hmm. membership, mm-hmm. went out there, and you know, right now they've got a deal where you get it for $9.95 a month or $90 a year. And we'll put the codes and everything on the podcast page.
They're on the show page, yes.
Yeah. But, and for that, you get unlimited courses mm-hmm. for your entire family, plus all kinds of resources and videos and world book stuff is out there.
It's everything from preschool to continuing education for grown-ups.
Yeah, I mean, over 300 courses.
Got all kinds of stuff out there. So we really want to encourage you, take a look at Schoolhouse Teachers, and we'd really like you to encourage you to follow the link on our show page. Go to go to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and page down to
HalandMelanie.com/radio will get you there.
That's true. That's easier to tell them on the radio.
That's easier. HalandMelanie.com/radio. Click on Schoolhouse Teachers. That blesses our ministry and it'll bless you and our friends at Schoolhouse Teachers. Okay.
So we're talking about midlife crisis, midlife transitions, midlife course corrections.
Well, you know, we had one of those. We had a pretty drastic, it was over several years. But I think, you know, had been talking about.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, I think what prompted it is I remember, okay, I may be wrong.
Okay.
Is your employer at the time, the power company, mm-hmm. I think is one of their ongoing training things, encourage you to take the Discover Your Strengths test.
Okay.
And I think they bought you all books or something, as I remember it.
Okay.
And you took that test and we looked at it and realized that, you know, you were a very good engineer, mm-hmm. but you were great at communicating and leading people and writing and speaking, none of which you did through your job.
That is very true. And I remember that time. That was a time where there were a lot of things that kind of came to a head in a few years there. And the realization that, well, you know, one of the things that I realized through that process was not, you know, coming to the conclusion, I'm in the wrong career field. This has all been a waste, because it wasn't.
No.
That career was good for us. It provided well for our family. For 20 years, you know, we did. There were a lot of things that were very positive about that whole time. But at that point in our lives, you know, now we're in our 40s. We've had experiences. We've done things. We've learned things. We've started to, you know, formulate our own way of doing stuff and realizing, hey, maybe at this point, now we're at a point where we can go off in a different direction. Now we've got what we need. We've got the foundation laid for it.
Well, you know, we had been volunteering with our state homeschool organization. You'd been mm-hmm. elected president.
Yeah.
You had evidenced a huge talent for writing and speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember feeling very frustrated because I felt like your job was not using the best of your talents.
Right.
And
it wasn't.
It frustrated me because I felt like you weren't very happy. And in fact, mm-hmm. later that year, or maybe it was within a year, I think,
yeah.
they decided to lay you off and mm-hmm. your blood pressure came down.
Yeah, losing your job and your health improves. That should tell
that
you something
should tell
right there.
You the job's not a good
one. The frog got out of the boiling pot.
Yeah,
and, but
and you know we decided we would try an entrepreneurial business with my brother,
mm-hmm.
and you know we worked at that and mm-hmm. really struggled. Weren't able to make much progress with it.
Right.
You know, we used up a lot of our 401k.
Yeah.
You did some consulting engineering, which at least mm-hmm. had the advantage of being in different and interesting places and times.
Yeah.
But that we did that for what, about 3 years?
Something like
yeah,
that.
About
yeah.
3 years.
Yeah.
You know,
about that worth.
Mixture of our own business and
and the consulting work.
And the consulting work.
Right.
And then you know, out of the blue,
mm-hmm.
someone in a different state, I think it was Arizona.
Yeah.
Asked us if we would come speak at their conference.
Well, we had met some of the leaders from the Arizona Homeschool Organization. That's Arizona Families for Home Education, AFHE.org, yeah. if you are interested.
We'd known them for years as fellow state leaders.
Right, right. We had known them from the leadership circles, if you will.
And, you know, it's really unusual for somebody who's not known as a speaker to get invited to speak at a conference out of state. That generally doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just the Lord. It happened in this case.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were stewing.
Mm-hmm.
Because what should we do? We looked and they had given us a booth right in front of the door.
It was prime real estate. And I thought, we didn't have anything to sell. And I thought, maybe we should just tell them we don't need a booth. But that was such a good location, I hated to give it up.
So we went to some friends who had a business selling homeschool supplies for advice,
mm-hmm.
and asked them, could we get some of the things we recommend mm-hmm. from you and resell them? And they told us, no, you need to sell your own stuff. And we're like, what own stuff?
I said, well, you've been talking at, you know, support group meetings and, you know, local events and things. I know you've got recordings of some of those talks. Make some CDs and offer those for sale. Well, okay. Well, you know, so we're kind of thinking that through. But on the way home from that meeting, I just kind of floated the idea to Melanie. And I said, you know, I wonder if this might be the time that we need to write a book. You know, because we still had months and months and months before this was going to happen. And I thought, you know, people have been asking us for recommendations of books. And we had been, you know, say a chapter here and a chapter there. And people said, well, do you have your own book? Well, no, but we just, you know, I just said, well, maybe we ought to write a book.
I flipped out.
You didn't think that was a good idea.
Well, we had our youngest had just got out of the hospital with a serious heart condition. And I was feeling very overwhelmed and very behind.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord wouldn't let me sleep that night. And the next day, we started writing our book. And
mm-hmm.
you know, when we got to that conference that summer, I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was doing this session on being a mom of boys and got to the end and put up a picture of the book. And I said, now we brought a book. Hal and I have written a book and we just brought a few boxes. And people got up and started leaving. And I was so embarrassed. I thought, they don't want to hear me talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they were rushing to buy it. And I remember that weekend. That to me was kind of the turning point, Hal, in this whole let's change up our lives midlife crisis.
Well, it was just out of the blue.
Do you remember sitting in that hotel room that night and just staring at each other?
Yeah, because we had brought, literally, I mean, we sold 100 books in 15 minutes. We've never done anything like that and haven't since. But, you know, in this tremendous rush of people coming to buy this book by unproven authors and everything else, I remember thinking as I'm feverishly trying to process all of these customers, I'm thinking, Lord, what is this? What are you doing, Lord? I don't understand this.
Well, and it became pretty clear what he was doing when we started getting invitations to speak all over the country.
Well, it was as if he said, children, this is the direction you need to turn.
And that, to you know, those 3 or 4 years there of the transition is what I consider our midlife crisis, you know, where we were transitioning from what we had been, which was...
Yes.
You know, I was a stay-at-home homeschooling mom.
And I was an engineer working for a big corporation.
I wasn't involved in the economics of our house at all, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keeping Quicken.
Well.
And to, you know, now we are, we still are home. Both of us are home now, though.
Yeah.
And we travel with our kids and we speak all over the country. And
and
now I look at what you do and I think, this is what God made Hal to do.
And I don't know that I would have been ready to do this if I had the opportunity when I was 25.
No.
I wouldn't have had the experience. I wouldn't have had the, you know, the confidence.
Well, I remember we had an opportunity to buy a homeschool business about 10 years before this all came to pass.
Yeah.
And the Lord closed the door pretty hard and I was crushed at the time. But now I realize, you know, we would have bought somebody else's business, but it would have been their business, not our ministry. And when it came about, it grew out of who we were. And the experiences that God had given us and the talents that God had given us. So many times I stand on stage with you, Hal, and I think, this is what God created us to do. You know?
And it was something that we weren't, we were still in the preparation phase.
Yes.
Up until we were in our 40s sometime.
Yes.
We were not ready to do that. I mean, we had done, you know, small scale stuff,
but
to make this our main ministry and our business and support and all the rest, we just weren't ready for that. God had not finished preparing us. And so when we get to, you know, if you want to call it the midlife transition there, that was when, that was as if, you know, God had been laying groundwork and the other career had supported that, because the corporate job gave me the income that allowed me to be a volunteer, to do things without being paid for it.
To let build me up stay skills. At home and homeschool our kids and raise our boys. And, you know, and so I don't have any regrets. I don't feel like, oh, we should have done this earlier. No. Instead, I feel like God brought us to that point. And that's why I think we need to be careful with the midlife crisis thing, because it's not a time to throw off. But instead, it's a time that you realize you've been through the preparation. You're seasoned now. Mm-hmm. You're becoming an elder, you know, in, used in the general sense, an older person.
An older person.
You know, and it's, and maybe now to find out what you've been preparing for. And it may be that you stay in your same career, stay in your same house, but you're involved in missions in a different way. Well, or you reach out to unwed mothers. Or like some friends of ours in our 40s have that God never gave them any children, and they're going through classes to become foster parents with the most troubled kids because they don't have any other kids to worry about.
And so, I mean, that's a good time to reassess and to ask yourself, okay, where am I now? And what have I learned about myself? What has grown, you know, in my abilities, in my heart, in my thinking processes and all the rest of that? You know, and that's not a, that's not to say to repudiate your past, although if there's something to repent of it, fine. Don't be hung up about it. But, you know, to say, well, the Lord has been building my life. And I think one of the things about that, I think sometimes we get stuck on milestones with the idea that we, you know, we're going to finish high school on this date, and then we're going to finish college on this date, and then we're going to go to work until I'm this age, and then I'm going to, then I will have arrived. And I don't think you arrive. I think that you, I think that you grow and you learn and you progress throughout your life.
It's a journey.
And it is, you know, that I don't think that there's really a time when I'm going to say, whew, okay, rocking chair for me. This is, I am so glad I am done with all the useful stuff. And now I'm going to sit back. I think we're going to continue working and living and learning and doing.
I don't want to quit doing what we're doing.
No, I don't.
Somebody
either.
Asked me today, when are you going to retire? And I said, when I'm 99, maybe, you know, when I'm not able to do it anymore, you know, because I love what we do, and I would be doing it if we, if somebody paid all our bills for us. That would be nice if somebody paid our bills for us. We have a lot of bills.
Well, maybe we can give them an opportunity to do that.
You can do that on Patreon.com. You can help take some of the pressure off so that we can do more ministry stuff.
That's true. Go to Patreon.com/Hal and Melanie. That's one way you can do this. Or if you just want, you've just got a tax refund come in or something, you want to make a one-time gift, come out to RaisingRealMen.com. And go to our shop page, and there's a donate button.
Yeah,
right?
There's a, go to the shop page, scroll down, and support Raising Real Men.
Yeah.
I just want to encourage you guys to have a great midlife crisis. You know, let this be a time that you reassess where you are and what you're doing, and are you pursuing the right stuff? You know, because when we did all this and we kind of jumped out of corporate life, we were worried, you know, at the financial cost and how we couldn't, you know, we make about half what we did then, and how we could help our, you know, do the things we wanted to do with our kids. And yet our kids said, thank you. I'm so glad Daddy's home with us.
Well, and that's just it, that, that when we made that transition in our midlife, we gave up some income, but we regained so many hours together as a family.
Yes.
And expanded our ministry so far beyond what we had been able to do as, you know, as people tied down in place and location, all the rest of that, you know, and everybody's course is going to be different because God's got a different pathway for everybody. So, you know, not to get hung up on the idea that, well, when I get to be 45, that's when I, you know, come home and be an entrepreneur. Yeah. That may not be what your calling is, but to say it's good to assess, it's good to go back and look and to recognize that there are seasons, you know, when you suddenly realize, hey, I'm not going to change any more diapers until the grandkids came, you know, or to say, hey, we're done with schooling now. I mean, you know, there are going to be those seasons.
Well, and we're still a long way from that, Hal.
But we got a ways to go.
We still got a long way to go. We got
about
with
a decade left on that.
But yeah, it's a time to say, you know, what do we want to be doing that we aren't doing? And not, I want a sports car, hopefully, but instead, you know, is there something that our family has a dream of doing that we want to reach out in a certain way? You know, we've got we've got friends that are there every single week at the abortion mill, and they've just made that their family's ministry to be there. And they have seen, you know, I've got another friend. She's got young children. She can't be out at the abortion mill every week, but she looks for moms in all these open groups on Facebook who are talking about abortion, and she counsels them through Facebook messages, and many of them have changed their minds. You know, there's all kinds of things we can do. Dare to dream. You know, we saw that The Greatest Showman recently.
Yeah.
And I love what he talked about, dreaming with your eyes wide open. I think that's exactly what we need to be doing as Christians. We need to be unafraid, realizing God can take care of us, and not be afraid to dream.
Wow. Okay. So, if you are considering having a midlife crisis, make it count. Make it a good one.
Have a good one.
Have a good, productive one. One that draws you closer to God, closer to your family, closer to your mate, and make the most of it. You know, that's our encouragement for you. Well, look, we are out of time, so we need to kind of wrap things up here. But as we said, if you'd like to support this broadcast and this ministry, come out to patreon.com/HalandMelanie or to our website, raisingrealmen.com, and go to the shop and look down for you support this ministry. And also, you know what? We'd like for you to support our sponsor. In fact, you will like our sponsor.
Yeah,
so to get to that link, to go to Schoolhouse Teachers, come out to HalandMelanie.com/radio. Look down there on the show page and you'll find a button that you can click through. And not only will you get an entry into all this wonderful stuff at Schoolhouse Teachers, but you'll also be helping to support us. Okay, so we thank you so much and we hope that you'll join us again as we try to take biblical principles and apply them to real life in the 21st century. Until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And thanks for joining us.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.